The body pulled out of the Thames at Borough Dock that June morning looked more like a fish than a man. A tuna, perhaps. 6 weeks dead and underwater, it had passed through the usual mysterious transformations until now it lay there on the dockside with one last unspoken request. Cover me. Let me rest from the sight of men. But such modesty would be denied, for the pathologists were already at work. And when science rolls up its sleeves, the rest of us must stand around, keeping a respectful silence. In the meantime, I remembered some words of Keats. Jackie Keats, that is. Pickpocket, card sharp, and con artist. When the feet get beat, beat the feet. It never meant anything. It just seemed to. And so on this June morning, as foggy as any November, with the mournful sounds of an unseen river at my feet, I interpret Jackie's wisdom thus. You don't like it? The death? The crime? The lying? The insanity? The fear? Then get out while the going's good, while your legs can still carry you. Beat the feet.
I'm in with the trainers, he said. I was just going to put my money in. He pulled me to one side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He said, I'm in with the trainers. I'll give you one for the third race. I says, go on. He says, Charlton Girl, do it on a tote, he says. So I shelled out 5 shillings.
You what?
Charlton Girl in the third. So the fanfare's blowing, they bring the dogs out. This fellow I was with says, there's yours. And I swear, when I look back, they lengthened to 14.
Every minute there's one born. What's that?
So they walk this dog.
Wait. What is that?
I'll fetch it out.
It's a metal frame. Door.
What?
It's fixed on a hinge. Sort of door, isn't it?
Hidden cupboard.
That's what it looks like. Now, careful.
Yeah, this'll do it.
Ah, there we are.
What's that there? Can you see inside?
Here. Get your arm in. You're smaller than me.
That's it. 3 boxes.
Open them up, then. Bloody hell.
What do we leave behind us when we go? At Patton Road Police Station, it sometimes occurs to me that the patina of dust that covers the ancient filing cabinets and lies along the chipped paintwork and that comes to rest on desk and lamp and keys must include flakes of my own skin, rubbed off who knows when, a decade ago. Not that I want to live forever, of course. I wipe my finger along the desk, and I look into the watery eyes of a red-faced man in an overall.
There.
Mr.
Day.
Okay.
Me and one of my lads found him. I told the bloke on the front desk.
Okay, tell me.
I'm foreman of a demolishing crew pulling down some offices at the corner of Endless Street and Barton Street. I mean, we just started and we're working on this snug little turret room right at the top. One of my lads finds this cupboard, hidden. It's a hidden one, you know, behind this mirror on a hinge. So we go very carefully and find these boxes inside. We took them down. Here they are. Have a look.
Money.
40,000 quid.
You'd say?
We counted it. Ones and fives. And in the other boxes. Look.
So, what have we here?
Jewelry.
Watches?
Yeah, all that.
Cigar cutters. Gold pens, chains, rings.
So, we were wondering,
yes,
Johnny and me, if it went unclaimed.
Have you signed for it?
Not yet.
You may get lucky. Milo.
Yes, sir.
Give Mr. Day a receipt for these things, will you?
Sir.
So, who owns these offices then, Mr. Day?
Cause of death, fractured skull. 3 blows with a tire jack.
How do I know your incredulous eyes inquire, Sergeant Burley? Because I've laid a tire, Jack. Several, as a matter of fact, of different sizes, against those delicate cracks, and one fits. This one. Too standard to be of any use to you, but facts are facts and something to grasp onto in this ever-changing world. He was in his 30s, slightly undernourished, and had broken his right arm as a child, which did not receive expert medical attention, and so would have caused him difficulty raising his arm thereafter. Those things, together with a poor, unattended condition of his teeth, make me think he was not a wealthy man. He was thrown in the water about 2 months ago. He died in great pain. Before he was killed, he had the unenviable experience of having his skin torn off. His back, his legs, his face. Some still remaining, of course, but only small tatters.
Is that hard to do?
I could do it. You couldn't. Well, not this neatly.
Some sort of medical experience, then?
Or a damn good manual.
I buy and sell property. What do you do?
I'm a policeman.
Yes, but what do? You control the herd. You govern the masses, yes?
I uphold the law.
Exactly, and very commendable. I buy and sell, you uphold the law. I see these activities as complementary.
Property consultant, it says on the door.
Has to say something, doesn't it? I invest in the future of our country.
You bought the office block at the corner of Endless Street and Barton Street.
You know what I deal in? I deal in potential. And potential, what is it? You can't see it. Most people can't see it. They say, what potential? Where is it? My answer, it's coming. It's coming. When I look at an old run-down block of offices with its drafty corridors, inefficient hallways, cracked windows and dull rooms, you know what I see? I see the past. I also see the future. I buy pessimism. I sell confidence. The war destroyed our city. That's why it needs people like me.
The offices were occupied when you bought them, weren't they?
Probably. What's this about?
The tenants all agreed to move out, did they?
Of course.
You asked them to go?
I spoke to them, yes. Backward-looking people, the reticent, living lives that Charles Dickens might have written about. You can't imagine. I'm not ungenerous.
You offered them money?
Yes.
And you let it fall to bits?
I took my duties as landlord seriously.
Until one by one your tenants left?
That is how it turned out.
Except for one.
What's that?
Who had the office on the top floor?
What's this about?
A quantity of money and jewellery has been found hidden there, so we're interested in finding the last tenant.
Hinn. Leonard Hinn, his name.
And he went with the others?
He hung on a little longer. But he went. I offered him £500, he surrendered his lease.
You don't know where he went to?
In fact, it was odd. The manner of his going, like the manner of his staying. Here it is. He signs on the Monday, I go round Tuesday morning, and his door is locked. I break in. I've paid for the privilege. The office is empty. A few sticks of furniture, rubbish, dust, nothing of Mr. Hinn.
So you've no idea about this money or the box of jewellery?
No. Could it belong to me, theoretically?
I don't know about that. What did he deal in?
Little Mr. Hinn, furs and hides.
Broken arm, worn teeth, skin missing.
Yeah.
And that's just the pathologist.
Oh? Yeah, got you, sir. Yeah.
A man is murdered, thrown in the Thames. Before he dies, his skin is removed.
The work of a maniac?
Could be. Certainly it's a lot of trouble to go to.
Someone in the handbag industry.
What?
It's a joke.
I prefer you miserable, Burley.
Yes, sir.
Could it be a warning to somebody? Like a squirrel pelt on the farmer's gate? I'll go and have a word with my snitch.
Sir, can I just see you a minute?
No, I'm busy. Got any money on you?
How much?
10 bob. Got to see a man about a dog.
His snitch.
Oh. Will I get it back, sir?
Oh, no.
Funny mood.
Yeah. He's thinking of resigning. Did you know that?
He told you?
No, I saw a draft of a letter he was writing to the deputy commissioner.
What's that about?
I think Mrs. Petrella has a hand in it.
But what for?
What did you want?
Lempard gave me a last known address for Leonard Hinn.
Yeah?
Number 46 Pardo Street.
We'll shoot round there, then.
Yes.
What?
Couldn't you talk to the boss or something?
About?
About not leaving.
That's personal, Milo, isn't it?
This'll keep the cold out, Jackie.
It's June.
Oh, yeah.
You don't look very well.
I'm very well.
Are you?
Yes, very well. What about yourself?
Well, you know.
Yes. How's your coffee?
What? Milky.
Sorry.
A geezer in the river. Is that what this is about?
I wondered if you'd heard anything.
No.
You haven't?
No.
10 bob.
Why don't you wave it around?
What are you so nervous about?
What am I?
My snitch.
You see?
It's your function.
If you think of me like that, how long am I going to live?
Okay. I'm not going to bother with you.
I didn't say that.
You're not saying anything.
I could be wrong.
What about?
Give me thoughts.
Speculate.
What? I've got a poem for you.
Jackie, I am busy.
You want a poem? Like one that on a lonesome road doth walk in fear and dread, and having once turned round walks on, and turns no more his head, because he knows a frightful fiend doth close behind him tread.
What fiend, Jackie?
I'm off.
You've wasted my time.
You don't look so off.
You worry about yourself, Jackie.
Yeah, I am.
So, Mrs. Tappin, when did you last see Mr. Hinn?
About a month ago. No longer. 7 weeks, 6 weeks. How do I know?
You don't keep accounts?
What?
To keep track of who's paid rent.
I know who's paid rent. Mr. Hinn paid up good as gold every quarter.
But then left?
I don't ask.
He didn't say anything?
Well, why should he?
True enough. And no one's come for his stuff or anything?
Eh?
Who's been up there?
These fellas come.
Who's that?
Well, how should I know? Said they were friends.
They went up. Can I see it? Mrs. Tappin?
Follow me.
Who did this?
How do I know?
Mr. Hinn's friends, was it?
I don't know.
You didn't hear anything?
No.
They trashed the room. You didn't hear anything?
No.
What do they look like?
I don't know.
Why don't you know?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
That's what I said.
Are you frightened of them?
No.
All right. I might come back.
Don't.
What?
Don't come back. Don't come back.
Terrified.
Was she?
Whoever they were, they did the job.
Yes, clearly. My snitch, Jackie Keats, was releasing quantities of nervous methane as well.
It goes like that, doesn't it?
What?
Some days.
Yeah. Drink up, I'll get another.
I'm all right.
So?
These men were looking for Hinn's money and jewellery. That's my guess.
Have you found out where it came from yet?
A local raid over the last year. Adamson's, Alpha Jewellery Sales and the Cut, Hinkston's,
Make the Pat.
Sorry?
We had Make the Pat down for those jobs, didn't we? But not enough evidence. Milo, why didn't you tell me before?
Well, I told...
Who?
Burley, I told...
Okay, okay. Take a photo of Mick back to the landlady.
She'll never do it.
All right. So what do you think this is about?
Hinn is fencing for Mick the Pat. He owes Mick, say...
What?
Money. He's taken the jewels, but holds back the fee. Mick wants it.
Yes?
Hinn skips.
Without his money?
He intends to come back.
You saw Lempard, didn't you?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said Hinn signed the lease over to him.
Again, with all his money in the wall? Didn't he know Lempard was going to have the building pulled down? So, he left in a hurry.
But that's what I'm saying. What if Mick killed Hinn, trying to get the whereabouts out of him, beat him, but Hinn wouldn't talk?
Tortured him?
Maybe.
Threw him in the river?
Sir?
Your man's already been.
Burley, yes. Mr. Worsley.
Doctor.
Yes, doctor.
You have in the past been sceptical of the pathologist's rule.
Not at all. I have great respect.
I think not.
Well, I need your help now.
Have I ever shown you around my little laboratory?
I don't think so.
We have few living visitors here, though the dead are always welcome. Bones of the innocent and bones of double-dyed murderers lie silent and equal under the impartial eye of science. Are you feeling all right?
Look, Dr. Worsley, I just have a few questions.
Are you anxious to leave?
Oh, well, I can't say I'm comfortable here, no.
Oh, very well. It was the body pulled from the Thames?
Yes.
I sent a full report.
Is there anything subsequent to that that might help us?
You want me to look at him again?
Yes.
Do you want to have a look at him?
Not really.
Well, I think you should.
Well, I don't...
Here! Well?
You say whoever did this may have had medical knowledge?
Well, it doesn't seem to me to be the work of an amateur. The skin has been cut and peeled off. Not torn off. And slowly. Not in a frenzy. There's some skin remaining, but it's neat. Oh, you see, the scalp line? Incidentally, your man had thick black hair, did I say that?
You didn't, I don't think.
Fingertips, toes, you see the edge? Neat little line cut there. Your colleague took fingerprints. No use to you?
No. He was a white man?
As opposed to...
Well, African, Asian. I mean, his skin was white.
And look at the ears, ma'am. The scalp. Look.
But the fingertips, they're darker, sort of brown, aren't they, no?
Possibly.
Oh, what could that be? And on both hands? Mm. Burning?
No. It's stain. I would say your man worked with dyes. I'll look at it in detail, but that's my guess. The leather industry, perhaps? Yes?
Put him away, would you?
I washed my hands before returning home. As though this might do the trick. As though water and soap would cleanse me, would rid me not of death, but of the man my wife could no longer look at without sadness, without regret. We cannot choose the self we present to others, not if they know us. Sooner or later we stand revealed. Though we cry out on that day, like a man with his skin torn off, it is too late. The monster has been exposed. How's Donald?
Very well.
I mean...
Very well. What can I say?
What did he do today?
He drew a picture of a ship. What can I tell you?
Well, did he like it?
The picture? Yes.
Sarah.
There's no need to talk. Is there?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
You might be wrong.
Then that is like you.
Is it? What?
To confuse me.
I'm not trying to confuse you,
Sarah. Well, you're succeeding.
I'm very tired.
Then that's your work, you see.
Sarah.
You say, how's Donald? Is that all right?
All right.
Huh, perhaps it is all right.
I've got to go to bed.
Yeah, go to bed. Something hidden in you I did not know was there. Until now.
I think I still love you, Sarah.
Where did you drag that up from?
Jackie Keats was the next to be pulled from the river. He lay there on the dockside, oblivious to the tugboats and the life above him. It was the sort of death he might have been made for. This small man whose agility had kept him alive for so long on the fringes of a violent world. Like those small fish which gain their livelihood from an association with larger predators, Jackie had finally fallen foul of the monsters he had fed from. They had taken back their pound of flesh.
Somebody saw him talking to me. He gave me nothing, but it made no difference.
Sir?
He talked to me about a fiend. He tried to tell me. All right, what do we have? Billy?
Nothing from missing persons.
Are we assuming the first body was Leonard Hinn?
He had dye stains on his fingertips. Does that fit?
It could be Hinn. He worked in the fur and hide trade.
Selling them, though.
Yes, but...
You want it to be Hinn?
He disappeared at the right time. He'd made an enemy of a violent man, Mick Sullivan, for whom he was probably acting as a fence.
And Jackie, too?
For ratting.
Billy?
We don't know enough to say either way, do we? Lempard must be in the ring, isn't he?
He's a landlord.
So? He wanted Hinn to vacate the office.
And killed him. Why?
I don't know.
And cut his skin off,
if the body is Hinn's. If it isn't, then Hinn is buried somewhere else in Lempard's Rose Garden or something.
Or isn't dead at all.
Or isn't dead at all. Are we having sandwiches?
Yep. There's a Mrs. Hinn to see you, sir.
Who?
Says she's the wife of Leonard Hinn.
Right. Didn't we know he had a wife?
No, sir.
You speak to her, Milo. Burley and I will go and talk to Mick Sullivan.
No sandwiches, sir.
Come.
I knew him.
How?
He sold furs. I bought me mother a fur coat.
We've recovered jewellery and money from a hidden cupboard in Hinn's old office.
Hinn's, you say?
What's the matter?
I'm just, you know, I didn't know he had any money.
It was in Aladdin's cave, as a matter of fact.
Was it?
When did you last see him?
6 months ago, maybe.
How was he?
How was he? I don't give a damn about his health.
It's from local jobs.
What is?
The jewellery.
Didn't we tell you?
It's nothing to do with me.
I know someone who says different.
Who's that? I'll smash his face in.
It's well established.
What is?
Your style.
Your credentials.
Your handwriting.
Mode of entry.
Mode of exit.
Mr. Hinn, the fence.
Recently of this parish.
But not me dabs. What's this about?
Mr. Hinn.
Some fella fishing for minnows. Must have been hell of a shock.
What?
Fellow on his day off, getting away from it all, reels in a body. Already skinned.
Which didn't make him want to eat it.
Mick?
He's gone quiet.
Listen.
Yeah?
If someone's done him the fin, it wasn't me.
What did you call him?
Helsinki.
And that's where we met.
You came to England together?
That is so, at the end of the war.
Please, go on, Mrs. Hinn.
So my husband set up his business, his trade.
Furs and
skin.
Hides, we call it.
So, he didn't do very well.
Is that when he became a receiver of stolen goods?
Yes, and drinking. So I left.
You haven't seen him for...
3 years. He was bad luck coming here. It didn't suit him. Maybe different at home, but here, very bad men.
Who?
Oh, who he mixed with.
Who?
You go down there, you'll see them. Little Baltic. You know it?
I know where it is. Is that where he traded?
Traded? Who knows what?
Is that all, Mrs. Hinn?
All? No, I want the money. And the jewellery, I read about it. They found some in my husband's office. Yes, it's mine, isn't it? If he hasn't claimed it, well, I'm his wife. So it's mine, yes?
This is Mrs. Hinn, sir. This is Chief Inspector Petrella.
How are you, Mrs. Hinn?
Well...
Mrs. Hinn is claiming those valuables we found.
Is she?
My husband's, they're mine.
I think that's very reasonable.
Sorry?
I said I think we can work something out. If I could have a word with you, could I? 2 teas, Milo. Mrs. Hinn?
No milk.
Milo?
Little Baltic is an area of high-sided warehouses and narrow streets above Baltic Dock. It is its own world, occupied for the most part by immigrants from the Baltic nations after the war. They are people whose faces have been marked by having witnessed terrible things and have escaped, but who have subsequently found that the fiend cannot so easily be outpaced. This is a tannery. Inside these warehouses, large vats boil permanently, rendering flesh and bone until the leather comes off clean and ready for treating. The stench of the vats hits you before you enter. It hangs over the area like a fog. Needless to say, the police are not welcome. We are the foreigners here, where it is useless to travel without a guide. Mrs. Hinn sat in the front of the car. She clenched and unclenched her hand as we drove past the sallow-faced workers. Some stared back. Most did not.
Here.
Milo?
This is where my husband used to come. I came with him once. It was enough.
You stay here. Milo?
Sir?
Give me 10 minutes.
Shouldn't I come with you?
Don't want to go mob-handed. Make the natives restless, yes? Besides, Mrs. Hinn would like some company.
What do you want?
My name is Chief Inspector Petrella. I'm from Patton Road Police Station.
So, you lost?
Are you one of the Ossipov brothers?
So?
Yes or no?
I am Algy Ossipov. What do you want?
Did you know somebody called Leonard Hin?
Hin?
Yeah.
Little fellow. Crook.
He used to work for you.
Who told you that?
What did he do?
I didn't say he did.
You want to talk about this at the police station?
He worked here. A few months. Bloody Finn. I stink. I threw him out. He's damn lucky I didn't throw him into the vat, you know?
When was that?
I don't know. What's he done?
He's gone somewhere.
You want to find him?
His wife wants to find him.
His wife tell you, look here.
Is there anyone else around here who might know?
My workers, you mean?
Yeah.
They're not going to tell you nothing.
Your brother? You have a brother? The sign outside says Ossipov Bros.
Dmitri don't want to see you.
I may want to see Dmitri.
Yeah, so he's not here.
When will he be back?
He comes and goes, you know.
I'm interested in the skin trade.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
It must be skilled work.
Skilled, yeah. With a knife. Then you got to treat it. Stop it drying. Nice and soft. That's what people want.
Is that how your fingers got stained?
Oh, yeah.
Tell your brother I called.
Petrella. That an Italian name?
My father was Spanish.
Yeah. Olive oil.
Come in, Mr. Lempart. Sit down.
Thank you.
You want to see me, you said.
Take a look at this. I think the wording's quite clear. At the top of the page.
In consideration of the remissions, the tenant surrenders to the landlord the said room and all fixtures and fittings and other contents thereof.
Yes.
Signed.
Leonard Hin.
You didn't show me this before.
It means that that jewellery, the cash, is mine. My solicitor agrees.
Oh, yes, who's that?
Eric Duxford. You know him?
Yes, he's a very lucky man.
How do you mean lucky?
I mean he's lucky not to be in prison.
Is that your opinion?
Yes.
This is a legal document.
Mm-hmm.
Signed by Hin, witnessed by me and Mr. Duxford.
Right.
So, my claim to
you
the...
witnessed this signature?
Of course I did.
That means you saw him sign his name.
Yes, that's what it means.
Is that how you thought he'd write his name?
He did write it.
This scrawl...
He was practically illiterate. I mean...
You know, you're a very unlucky man. Despite the ministrations of your more fortunate solicitor. You know why you're unlucky? Because Mr. Hin had a wife. Did you know that? She came in here just the other day. Yes? And guess what? She's claiming the money, too. Everybody wants some, eh? Anyway, she brought his passport... And her wedding certificate, yeah? You see? I'll show you. You know what I'm going to say, don't you?
No.
You are so unlucky. See Mr. Hin's name? Sort of, well, what would you say, sort of personal hieroglyphic more than a signature. Yes? But look at this. He signed it. He spelt it differently. H-Y-N-N. It's Nordic, I think, isn't it?
I can assure you...
No, I don't think so, do you? You gave me a forgery.
I haven't done anything wrong.
Well, tell Mr. Duxford that, and tell him that serious charges may well be made against you. He'll like that. Fees, you know? You can go now. Milo!
He's alone with him in a room. He's tried to get him out for months. All the other tenants have gone, but Hin's holding on, stubborn. Lempard's tried threats, he's neglected to repair the building, and he's offered Hin money. So they agree to meet. Lempard's crooked little solicitor has drawn up this release document. He has his £2,000 on the desk, and he expects Hin to sign. Turn right up here, Fraser.
Sir.
Hin comes in, sits down, refuses to sign it. Have you noticed Lempard's temper?
Impressive.
He hits him, harder than he intends. The little man falls, I don't know, perhaps catches his head and doesn't get up.
Right.
Sir?
Straight on. So, he has two problems. One, a body. Two, an unsigned release agreement. He solves the second with a crude forgery. I mean, look at it, it's an insult.
The bottom of the second page has been cut off, too.
Yeah. Blood?
Possibly. What did he do with the body?
In small. Lempard dumps it. The river, Epping Forest, the time-honoured places.
Right.
Here, Fraser, far enough.
So?
That's it. Nothing. Forgery.
But without a body?
Exactly.
So, the man in the river?
No idea. Except, by the stains on his fingertips, he worked in the skin trade. Which brings us to tonight's little performance. You all right?
Yeah.
Good. I said to my wife, look, I will pay fair attention to this question. She didn't believe me. I could tell by the way she left the room at that point. I followed her. I had to. Sarah, I said, all right, tell me, why are you so keen for me to leave the force? I asked the question not exactly in good faith, but marriage is not always the easiest context for good faith. Love demands dissimulation. I waited. At that point, Donald, our four-year-old, called from upstairs, which gave her a pretext to leave the room again. I caught her arm. I am not in the habit of detaining my wife physically. She looked at me. If you can't see what it's doing to you, these people you deal with every day. I need a holiday, I said. No, she said. She has green eyes, my wife, that shine enough to pierce your heart when she chooses to. It is her eyes that I love most about her, for they bring me, have always brought me, the full beauty of her passionate mind. Not a holiday, she said. A life. They've taken your life away, these people. Can't you see that? You have been overtaken by an infection. All set, Burley?
Should be.
I hope so. Switch on, Fraser. Where'd you put the mic?
Under the table, strapped up. Won't be seen. I told her to give us a minute, then say something.
You hear me? You hear me speak?
Right, I'll tell her it's all right.
Wait, Burley. Look, he's here.
Already? She won't be expecting him.
He's alone, sir.
We'll have to let him go in. Ready?
Yeah.
Myla?
Sir.
When we go in, you and Fraser go round the back. Burley and I will go in the front. You got a keys, Burley?
Yeah, she gave me a set.
Where's our man?
Oh, at the front door.
Right.
Oh. So what? You want something?
That's it. My brother sent me to see you.
I don't know your brother.
Exactly. You don't. I think you do.
I don't.
He knows you.
Oh, does he?
He knows you, yeah. So what have you been doing?
What are you talking about?
You know, with the police.
My husband left some money.
Yeah?
Well, it's mine. I went to claim it.
Why is it yours?
Because I'm his wife.
Is that it?
What do you mean?
We don't think people should speak to the police.
About
anything.
Sir.
Wait.
Lying witch will end up hurt, you know.
I don't know what you mean.
Oh? I could show you.
You go now.
You know that body in the water? We did that. You want to see his skin hanging up in my brother's room, yeah? You want that? We can do that to you.
Not yet.
You should have heard. He squealed, you know. You want that?
No, please. I'm not doing it.
No, please. It doesn't matter. We'll do it. I'll do you. Pull your bloody hair out.
Go.
Right. You do that for me? Get away.
It's all right. It's all right. Are you all right?
He's a bastard. Kill him.
Is he going to talk?
I don't know. He's very quiet, isn't he?
He's maintaining a discreet silence. No doubt about that.
He's hiding something.
You think so? Are you hiding something, Augie? My colleague says you are. You see, in these cases where a man who is obviously guilty...
Clearly guilty.
...chooses to maintain silence, we have no alternative.
Time marching on.
Cat got your tongue, Augie.
I not speak to you.
Did he say something?
I think he did. You were saying...
Before I was interrupted, a stone wall of silence leaves us no alternative.
Break it down.
And that's your department, isn't it, Burley?
Let me kick the crap out of him, sir.
You see, Augie, what I'm up against? My colleague is an animal. With all the goodwill in the world...
You think I talked to you?
You've confessed to murder. Two murders. We have it on tape.
Yeah. You can't use it in court.
I want to kill him. I want to kick it out of him.
Augie, listen to me.
I don't care what you say. What do you do? You think I care? You think I'm going to repeat it? Repeat everything in court? Kill me. Do what you like. I'd rather it was you than...
Than who? Than your brother? Your brother would kill you.
You see, you don't know anything about him.
My wife said, your hands are dirty. You come home, you hold your son in your arms, and you hold me. But gradually, you are becoming like them. She said she could see it in my eyes. Another man's eyes, she said. Someone who would kill his own brother, torture him, whom no one will betray. A man of terror, nameless and faceless. Where is he? What regions does he occupy? How can I tell her this? How can I tell her to wait for me, that I am entering a pit stinking of burnt flesh and sulphur? I cannot say, wait. The man who returns may not be the man who left her, may not be the man she recognizes anymore.
Sir?
Milo?
Got through to the Home Office. Details on Augie Ossipov's background.
Yes.
Born in Krakow, worked for the Nazis during the war. Illegal immigrant, detained, jumped bail, last seen a year ago.
Fairly standard. And Dmitri, his brother?
Well...
What?
There's no information.
What does that mean?
Augie Ossipov doesn't have a brother, sir.
Shella.
Chief Inspector, listen carefully.
Can I have a name?
Listen to me. You're holding Augie Ossipov. I wish him released. You will arrange an escape to be made.
Listen, who is
by
this?
By 10 o'clock tonight, or... Are you listening?
Daddy!
What is that?
Daddy,
your son. Did you recognize his voice?
Who is this? Where are you?
10 o'clock tonight. Or I will post his soft flesh to you.
Wait!
Sir?
Tell me.
Dmitri? Why should I?
He sold you out.
Do what?
Fingered you for the jewelry jobs.
Did he? You're not just saying that, are you, because you want me to help
him? Who is he?
He's a bad lot. Squeezes money out of people. He'd kill you as soon as look at you. And you want to find him?
That's right.
What do you want him for?
Where is he?
Let me out of here, and I'll tell you.
The stench of the tanning vats, even at this hour, invaded my head. Unstoppable. Sara, very few things matter. We are given so little to do. And when those things emerge with clarity above the fog of our lives, then we see that action is simple. I may be evil, I may be corrupt, my skin may stink of something worse than death, yet I know now how to act. I feel as though I have entered hell. Vats boiling, reducing the heart of man to a thick, white gruel. And high up around me, nailed to the rafters like 1,000 silhouettes of death itself, the skins.
Sir?
What do you want?
Saw you withdrawn a pistol, sir. Followed you down.
I asked you not to.
Where are we going, sir?
Stay here, will you? You can do that, can you?
Sir?
You see the light in the office up there? If it goes off, come running.
Ah, Inspector. Later than I thought.
Where is my son?
You have organized the release of poor Augie?
My son first.
This is very bad. Don't you love your son, Petrella? Don't you love him enough?
I will use this.
Then you will kill your son.
Tell me.
Go back to your office. Allow Augie to escape and I...
I can shoot you 10 times before you bleed to death.
Then you have lost him. You will always know you killed him.
Get up. Get up, Dimitri. It's all right, Burley. Get up.
I swear to you, I will roast you piece by piece in that vat. I will lower you down into it inch by inch. Where is my son?
Daddy!
Boy all right now, sir?
He's very well. A few bad nights, but, yes, he's well.
By the way, Milo and I agreed it was him.
What?
We checked against his passport photo. Dimitri and Hinn were the same man. Some sort of alias, must have been.
Did you catch sight of the man who shot him?
No, sir. By the time we got outside, he'd gone. Unless it was Mick.
Mick? No.
You don't think so?
Why would Mick do that?
Because he knew that Hinn had taken his money. We told him. Sir?
A long shot, Burley. That's my view.
Right, sir. So... who was the man in the water?
No idea. Must have been someone who didn't pay up when asked. What have you got there, Milo?
Your resignation letter, sir. You asked me to post it. I haven't had a chance to.
Good. Throw it away.
Yes, sir.
I've a holiday coming up.
Will you be back, sir?
Well, I'll have to see. One or two personal things to sort out.
Yes, sir.
Right.
At the end of his day... the miner comes up into sunlight, takes a bath, and goes home. I don't envy him, but he puts it by. The machinist switches off, puts covers on, has a cigarette, and leaves it. But the policeman, when his shift ends, he sometimes finds that something has seeped under his skin, like phosphorus. Scrub it, blow on it, do what you like, it burns on. And a kind of fascination develops that comes from having seen too much. And when I think how near I have come, sometimes to drowning in the dark, it was only my promises to others that made me return. I was thinking of that poem by Robert Frost. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep. And miles to go before I sleep. And miles to go before I sleep.
In Outpacing the Fiend by Michael Gilbert, Philip Jackson played Petrella, Nicky Henson was Burley, Mamta Cash was Sarah, and Jamie Glover, Milo. It was directed by John Taylor.